edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on air today as we talk about an issue that I believe we should recognize the cause and effect, and we need to recognize how we need to respond to it. It's lawlessness abounding in the last days. My Bible says in the last days that iniquity shall abound, and that's in the 24th chapter of Matthew. That word iniquity is twisted, perverted sin, better translated lawlessness. We have lawlessness in our streets. We've seen lawlessness in on the campuses of our universities. Most, if not all, of this lawlessness comes out of the root cause of socialism, communism, Marxism being perpetuated in our schools, colleges, and universities. As a result of that, we have some of the airheads out there in the streets that believe that somehow, some way, there should be lawlessness and there ought not to be any rules, regulations, or guidelines, and that law enforcement has no authority, but the thugs on the street have all the authority. It's as a result of the Biden administration, Sleepy Joe Biden, Auto Pen Biden, allowing between 20 and 25 million illegal invaders to come into America. And most of those that came in, if not all, most of them, I'll qualify it by saying that, came into America with a purpose and a mindset of overthrowing the United States of America. So I'm in favor of President Trump with his agents going into these streets. In fact, really, I believe, and I don't know if it's possible how this would work legally, but I believe there needs to be a calling of insurrection for cities or for states when there's a mindset with the governors and the mayors and the attorney generals that we ought not to obey law enforcement, that the ICE ought not to have any authority. I believe that ICE has the authority to come in and remove. And I've, just like these now, the mayor in New York saying that it's against our democracy for ICE agents to pick up an illegal invader in our cities, in our states and nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if they're here illegally, remove them, that is the first thing that needs to be done. In fact, I am delighted to see President Trump canceling any further immigration right now for, I believe, 75 nations. And the whole point is most of them that would be coming in depending on America and American dollars. And right now, when you see what's happened in Minnesota with the thefts and the lying taking place, and I'll say this, and then we'll open our telephone lines again and take our callers. This article is about a major video that's online. You can't see it, but I can tell you about it. Nick Shirley, which is the independent investigative reporter, reveals another layer of Somali fraud that nobody's even talking about. Nick Shirley, the independent journalist whose viral video exposes massive fraud among the Somali community in Minnesota, is now revealing another layer of the fraud, as he says Somali in the state of pretending they don't know the English language, etc. And the point is, and I'll just not read it, I'll just summarize it for you. It's almost laughable. The Somali thieves are geniuses, if you will. When they go to a physician, they pretend they can't speak English, and with most of the hospitals and doctors in America, they have to have someone that's a linguist on the duty to be able to translate for the patient. And so immediately if that Somali person goes to the hospital or the doctor's office, he can't speak English, so they are required by law to call someone to come in and translate. The translators and the operations for the translators are owned, operated, and controlled by the Somalis. So they pick up the doctor, picks up the phone, calls the translator, and he comes in. If he's there for 15 minutes or for an hour, the doctor is billed for 8 hours at $100 an hour. That goes back in the pockets of the Somalians. How do they get to the doctor's office? They do so by transportation. Well, they have to call a public transportation service, which that transportation service owned, operated, and controlled by the Somalians. And so they get paid to take them to the doctor. They get paid to take them back home. The kids get paid. The parents get paid. The Somali operational transportation operation gets paid to take the kids to school. They get paid to take the kids back home. And this article says, Shirley summarized the situation saying, so basically what we're talking about between all these fraudulent businesses, daycares, autism centers, adult care centers, home services, and transportation services, you have it looped in with all going eventually back to from the doctors, from the translators, etc., being paid by the state and the federal government back into the pockets of the Somalians. I laugh because we've allowed that to take place in America. I believe it should be broken up quickly. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, I have to give Jim his kudos. He was dead on point because I asked you the same questions. But I tell you what, this is an insurrection, and you've had presidents in the past boil down insurrection. And I don't understand. I believe if Trump cured cancer, the Democrats, everybody, the hell be on fire. I don't know. It's just crazy.
Well, everything from the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, the Orange Man is always wrong. Whatever he does is wrong. Whatever he says is wrong. And yet they overlook the fact that all that we're faced with, all that Trump is faced with at this very moment, is are the carryovers, the leftovers, the residuum as a result of a Obama and then Biden administration. 12 years of destroying the United States of America. And I'm prayerful that God can salvage it because of the hand of Trump and God placing Trump by divine intervention in office. Trump's going into office the first time was a frightening thing for the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrats. It is a horrible thing as far as the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrats are concerned for him to be back in office. He has his hand at the wheel, and what he's doing is exactly correct. What he's doing is constitutionally correct, and yet they want to challenge by the courts with everything that he does. But I believe God's intervention is timely. I believe God's intervening with his hand at the controls each and every day for what God is doing. Kenneth, we've got others on the line I must grab, but thank you. Thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Woody's on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. Just want to thank you for the stance you take in your teaching. I'm not often able to listen live, so I listen on WBOB at 11 o'clock at night. And your program yesterday was particularly good, and I think there's a correlation between what you're talking about today with the riots and the other thing in our country and what you discussed yesterday with Iran. And I'd like to make a couple comments in that area, and it's based in Matthew 24 and 25 and the verses that talk about the end times. And it talks about, chaos and disorder, but it also talks about earthquakes and famines and those things in the same context.
Yes.
So if we are where you say we are, where I believe we are, because the Bible says we're there,
yes,
then we need not to expect just chaos that we see right now, but all these other things happening. And seismic activity is a big thing, and America has been seismically quiet for a long time. But what a lot of Americans don't realize, and I I'll bring this back full circle, I promise. What a lot of Americans don't realize is the seismic threat that we're under right now. And imagine with all the chaos in the country that we have, multiplied by some major seismic events, just how quickly the American economy could collapse and all the other things that even an EMP weapon might create. Here's the point. The worst earthquake in American history happened in the 19th century in New Madrid. Some people say New Madrid. I think it's pronounced New Madrid Fault. They exist essentially between Memphis and St. Louis, and it was the greatest earthquake that we ever had in American history, but it wasn't very populated at that time, so the devastation wasn't that great. But there's been no major release of energy on the San Andreas Fault since 1906. Some of the lateral faults have cut loose, but on the main fault, the San Andreas Fault, there's been no major release of energy. It's long overdue. There were 56 centimeters of stress on the fault in the San Francisco area when it cut loose in 1906, and that was a 7.9 or 8 earthquake. There's over twice that amount of stress in the Palmdale area, where it's really locked up. And if that were to cut loose, imagine what, if 56 centimeters of stress was an 8 magnitude earthquake, what are you going to get if it all cuts loose at once in the San Andreas and the Palmdale, Los Angeles areas? It'd be unbelievable. Or the Juan de Fuca plate, which is Oregon and North and Washington, the subduction zone that creates the volcanoes like Mount St. Helens, Mount Cook, and Mount Rainier, and the others that are up there. You know, suppose that suddenly became, well, it's already active, but supposedly it got irritated like it did in the 1980s with Mount St. Helens. Add that to the chaos that we live in right now. We live in a chaotic time because Satan is proceeding into his 7-year reign very soon, just after the rapture of the church. And all these things that are talked about in Matthew 24 and elsewhere have to come in effect. But there is the first chapter of Amos, the first verse, first and second verses, talks about that great earthquake that's alluded to several times in the time of King Uzziah.
Yes.
And God always used major seismic events to herald significant times. So here's bringing everything together if I possibly can. Revelation 17, 10, and 11, I think, are really important to us because it talks about 8 kingdoms. It says 5 were, 1 is now, 1 is yet to come, and the 8th will succeed that. The 5 kingdoms were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. The book of Revelation was written at the time of Rome. There's one unnamed one that I frankly believe is America. Others would say no, but it says the 8th will come, and he is of the other 7. That 8th is of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I am certain America is the culmination of Western culture, if nothing else. And that is that seventh kingdom mentioned in Revelation 17, verse 10 and 11. And what comes next is the kingdom of Satan. So we're going to have, if that supposition is correct, and the things that you have talked about in this wonderful book, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, the study of Ezekiel 38 and 39 by Dr. Gene Youngblood. You may have heard of him.
I believe I know him.
He does an excellent job in that book of talking about what's coming. Now, here's the last. Can you give me a couple more minutes? Or am I going
right
on
ahead.
Too long?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. I spent the first 10 years of my Air Force career flying in and out of Iran quite a bit. When I flew the 141, I think my first trip was early in 1973 into Tehran. And that was when the Shah was our buddy. And incidentally, when I went to pilot training at Webb Air Force Base out in Texas, the Shah's son was just a couple of classes ahead of me. He went through Air Force pilot training. So I've always had kind of an interest in Iran, but I spent maybe 2 or 3 weeks every year in Tehran at the Intercontinental Hotel on various trips. And I can tell you some of the best people in the world live in Iran. I had a good friend who was the chief pilot of the 747 to the Iranian Air Force. They had a purchasing mission in New Jersey where I was stationed, and he'd come in every couple months in the 747 and get the stuff the Shah had ordered and take it back until he was tragically killed in a crash in Spain. But we couldn't have had a better friend in the Middle East than Iran. And then in the 70s, the end of the 80s, the end of the 70s, 78, 79, I took a load of 6 attack helicopters from their factory in Texas, flew them nonstop, and we hit 5 tankers en route, aerial refueling in the C-5, and delivered them to the Shah and near the end of his reign. And here's what's significant, and I think it's the point I'm going to make. We were at the west end of the ramp at Mehrabad Airport, unloading the helicopters, I believe it was. And at the east end of the ramp was a Russian cop transport unloading material that was actually going to the mullahs. We took retrograde cargo out of the embassy, the sensitive material to take it home after we offloaded the helicopters. But that was right about the time that the Shah abdicated. And I saw with the curious alignment of Marxism, Russian, with Islam. Islam says, if you're not a person of the book, you ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. And yet here are people who are not of the book, Marxists, communists, who are supplying these holier-than-thou Ayatollah. So that was the first indicator that something really unholy and bad was going on. And call to mind, you hadn't written the book at that time, but call to mind the circumstances of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, where Russia leads the nations of the world. If anybody were to go online and get the book Answer to History by Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, the Shah of Iran, great guy, you'll find the perfidy, the treachery that our country did to Iran that caused the Shah to have to go away. We have now in Tehran riots in the streets that I believe, personal opinion, are indications of what's to come here, because
yes,
Babylon is really the centerpiece in prophetic history of where it all begins. That's the third of those 7 nations, and then the 8th comes from Revelation 17:10. Babylon, which was conquered by the Medo-Persians, and so there's that direct connection between Babylon and Iran, or Persia, which is now Iran.
Yes.
And the fact that this is kind of where prophecy centers, and because of what we see happening in Iran, that is an indicator, I believe, of what's coming to the whole world. It's now being manifest right now in America. And I would point you to, I'm not a theologian, but I've read the Bible pretty good, and I think Isaiah chapter 3 is very indicative right now yes, of where we are. Mm-hmm. I say that for this reason. You said in the beginning of your program, don't worry, things are going to be okay. Christians don't need to worry or fear. Only with the eyes we hold to see the reward of the wicked. And Isaiah 3:10 says, but tell the righteous it will be well with them. And that's in the context of what's said all around it, which is bad things are going to happen when God is judging a nation. And America, you said it, the current pastor said it, I've believed it for a long time, America is under God's judgment.
Absolutely.
That said, what can we expect now that Iran is so much in the marketplace, in the front? I personally saw the fall of Iran, its conversion into one of those nations that is part of the group that will come against Israel. And with that happening, we can expect earthquakes.
Yes.
And all these other things that Matthew 24 talks about. Man, I've gone on for a long time. I apologize.
Well, Woody, that's good. One of the things that I can add is kind of a parenthetical footnote to what you've said. I believe what we're witnessing in America today is a microcosm of the big picture that we see on a global basis, and as what God is speaking about in the eschatological text in Matthew 24:25 and Luke 21 and Mark 13, with those things that are happening. You're right on target with that. And just a little footnote further, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that the Shah of Iran's son is, of course, an adult now. He's in another nation, and he's been collaborating, talking with our leadership in Washington, i.e. with President Trump and other leaders. And I just read an article yesterday, day before yesterday, very, very good article, with advice that he's giving the United States in relationship to what needs to be done in Iran. He is encouraging President Trump to go in and extricate the ones that are the faithful, the citizens, as you spoke of, to protect them from the ultimate slaughter that will take place if we don't go in. So I'm in favor of going in. Give, in just a little nutshell, what are your thoughts about the procedure and the practice and the process that Trump needs to go through next in the nation of Iran?
Well, this answer is going to disappoint you. I agree with everything that you said. I don't think it'd be wise for me to make a comment on that. Honestly, we need to line up behind our president right now.
Yes.
We have a short period of time to get this right. So I'm really tired of the news people that come on, well, I got this opinion on that. And again, I go back to Isaiah chapter 3. Oh, my people, your leaders lead you astray.
Yes.
I've never seen so many. This Governor Walz is just a complete idiot.
He called him. He admitted that he's a knucklehead.
I can't even talk about him and not get angry.
Yes.
But we have leadership all over this country like that, and most of it, if you look now, it's white women that are speaking
white,
outside.
White university educated women. That's what put Mandami in office in New York City.
Back to the 30s. Yeah, absolutely. And we're there. And yet, that's what Isaiah 3 talks about.
Yes,
oh, my
absolutely.
People, children, your pressures, and women rule over you.
Mm-hmm.
We're
yes.
a feminized culture. We need to stand up. Donald Trump is doing it. And I don't want to offer an opinion. I'll just say, let's do what the president does, because we don't have enough time to dilly-dally.
Yes.
He's acting now because he knows what's coming. He can't tell the whole world.
Yes.
But he's acting on the intel that he has. He's got an excellent staff around him. We've got a wonderful Secretary of War, and we've got some pretty good leadership now and some pretty good equipment. We need to line up behind our president and quit giving our dadgum opinions. All right? We don't have a time left. It's make it or break it with Trump.
Absolutely.
And that's a fact. We're down to months before some really bad things happen.
Absolutely.
There's an article in Time magazine from the middle 70s called Our Bulldog in the Middle East. And it was talking about Iran before it fell and what a good friend they were. And I can testify that they are. And they were. And for the fact that they have now been under the control of the Shia, the horrible branch of Islam, besides the Wahhabis, well, all of it's bad, the Wahhabis too, but
yes.
Sunnis aren't quite as bad. But we've done a 180-degree flip from one of our closest allies, and actually a friend of Israel back in the early 70s, to being the evil empire that you have talked about that's coming in the coming global Islamic invasion. I hope people stop by your church and pick up a copy of that, and they'll listen to your program, because, Doc, you're one of the few that's doing the talking, and we need to warn the people. The people
Absolutely.
Have to understand that what lies ahead is exactly what Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse.
Yes.
It's coming. It's
we
here.
We need to be the watchman on the wall warning, and it's left up to the individual's volitional choice to make a decision. Woody, thank you so
much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your input today. God bless you. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
I think that was just Woody on, and he does a fantastic job on his analysis in the instant case of Iran and 47 years of this absolute crazy Islamic revolution and the chaos that has ensued, the 47 years of threats from the Ayatollah and the realization that that country has been dominated by an evil force. I do also believe in self-determination, and I believe if Iran is to change, it will have to be, it'll have to come from the hearts and minds and the actions of the people of Iran with some modicum of assistance. I've enjoyed the fact that Donald Trump has not gone on a nation-building campaign. We've not moved in with tens of thousands of troops and said, "Hey, we're gonna build this thing from the ground up." Because if the people don't want it, it will not last. It will not stick. Afghanistan in like 24 hours went back to crazy controls. My concern there is the influence of China in the region. That's my concern with Venezuela. Of course, in this hemisphere, we don't want Russia or China to have a toehold. But from a Christian perspective, what's really exciting is this is old Persia. This is part of the Gog and Magog coalition. When we see Russia moving, when we see Iran moving, when we see Israel, the focus of their disdain or their wrath, understand, folks, we're right on the cusp. We're right on the edge. From a Christian perspective, as much as these are sometimes horrible things, there are things that must be. There are things that have been written thousands of years ago that will come to fruition. So from a Christian perspective, I get excited at the fact that God's plan, God's book is coming to life before our very eyes. With over 351 prophecies, or at least 351 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus Christ, his coming, his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, I love to see just one more piece of prophecy, one more piece of prophecy coming to fruition, knowing that the next item that we can see with clarity on the horizon is the rapture, the harpazo, the snatching out, the calling away of his beloved bride, us, the body of Christ. And I'm looking forward to that day.
Absolutely. It sounds so much like me. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. Greg resides up in the southern tip of heaven. I believe it's called Northeast Tennessee. And so, Greg, I understand there was going to be some bad weather last night. How is it in the southern tip of heaven today?
There are flakes of snow falling. It's 24 degrees. It's beautiful. Anytime you look out over these wonderful mountains, God's fingerprints here on East Tennessee, it's always a good day.
Absolutely. Greg, one last shout out. What would you say is the very succinct statement to our Christian listeners today?
Folks, finish well. This has been resonating in my heart and mind for several years now, and the drumbeat just gets louder by the day. Finish well. The Lord's return is nigh.
Absolutely. That's the Apostle Paul. And you study the Apostle Paul's statement, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course." That's what we should be able to say as Christians. We fought a good fight. We've finished well, as you said, and I'm thankful for what God is doing in the hearts and the lives of each and every Christian that's tuned in today. Greg, thank you so much for calling, taking time out of your schedule to call us today. Ladies and gentlemen, one final word. As we stand today, we need to stand for truth, the realization, and the recognition, although as Christians we'll still face persecution, prosecution, chaos, and calamity in our world, we need to recognize, as Greg has said to me so often, "Dad, it's not falling apart, it's all coming together." Thank you for joining us. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.